Then I thought to myself, how would ChatGPT define succession planning with ageism? So I asked it. This is the definition from ChatGPT with ageism. Implementing succession plans demonstrates to younger employees
A
that
route.
there are up
Yeah.
they're starting off good.
There's a path.
The path here. Implementing succession plans demonstrates to younger employees that there are opportunities for career advancement within the organization, getting better, as the older workers at the company start to age out.
Define older. Interesting.
Yeah, define older.
Huh.
So here's the deal. What's going on, everybody? Ryan Leary here from Work Defined. It is the barf. It's a week, a look at the week that was. So you could be prepared for the week that is. My laughter is because of this guy, Mr. William Tincup, who is waxing on and waxing off. All right, story
Pitch
time.
me
So
something. What do you got?
I looked over, and you look like Mr. Miyagi at the moment.
Welcome to my dojo.
So when everyone's like, what the hell is
Yeah,
going on
that's
here?
what
That's
happens.
it. Oh man. All right. So the barf, we got a lot of good stuff that has gone on
Yeah,
this week,
we
I
got some good
think.
stuff. What do you want?
We do have some good
You want to
stuff.
pitch me, or you want me to pitch you? What do you got?
Yeah, you go first. Let's see
All right,
what
let
you
me
got.
pitch you on this deal. The Crunchbase Tech Layoffs Tracker. This can be found at Crunchbase and its startup Tech Layoffs. And they've literally got a tracker. And more than 191,000 workers in the U.S. based at tech companies were laid off in mass job cuts in 23, more in 24. So, question I have for you. First of all, just going and looking at that layoffs tracker, that's definitely uplifting. But was this inevitable? Were we built up too much? Was this people making different bets? Or did AI, Gen AI, have something to do with the skill sets that were to be needed next changing? So what's your take on that?
There's a couple things here. One is, I think it was inevitable from the fact that at the time of the pandemic, we got
Right.
crushed. And then everybody got
That's right.
hired back at
Right.
ridiculous rates, right? So all of that's correcting now. 200 is the new 100. We get that. So I think that had
Right.
a lot to do with it. Everybody hired back, or they hired back expecting to do fantastic because everything
Right.
is back. Didn't pan
Yeah.
out that way. And so it went back down. So I think the market is just correcting itself, honestly. I don't think AI is killing us now. I don't think it's going to kill us. I think there'll be some shifts
No, I
in
just think it's
jobs.
the skill set. So I agree with all of what you said. I think it's market conditions and it's right sizing. So it makes sense on that level. However, when I dig deeper into it, I think that the skills of a tech worker are changing. Because, I mean, you don't have to write code. You can,
I think the skills of
you know,
every
well,
worker
yeah,
is
but
changing.
in particular, tech base. So I'm just kind of wondering, if companies are pulling back from hiring, either because they can't find that specific talent, or they're just in a hold position until they kind of wait till the election, wait till the new year. Let's see how this AI stuff plays out. But I believe that the 191,000 plus, I do agree with you. I think there's a market correction, an adjustment, etc. So, yeah.
Now, if the stock market corrects and shoots up, I'd
Watch
be
that
happy about
size right
that.
now. So, I mean, it's done. It's we can't blame Wall Street. I mean, we can,
No,
but not, and we
we
will,
will. We
not
will,
right
and we
now.
can.
Go
All right. So last week, I think it was last week, I talked about the right to
Right.
disconnect. I might have done it the last couple of weeks.
Yeah,
I'm
that's a
starting to
theme.
see a theme here. 4-day work
3-day work
weeks
weeks.
and
Two-day work weeks.
disconnecting.
Yeah. All right.
So, all right. So, but this is
Uh-huh.
different. This is because it's in the
Okay.
US. Okay. So I want to get your thoughts on this because now that it's being brought to light in the U.S., the workers' right to disconnect, is it going to happen? So it's easy. Let's just get it out there. Common sense to make it. You're out of work, you're out of work. You're done work, you're done work. Shut it, move on. But I know you're going to have a different thought on this.
It's all about productivity. And a company is always going to be pushing to get more productivity for less, right? So that's the company's interest is to make money. It's yield. So I'm paying you $75,000 and you get an email at 11 o'clock at night. You might perceive that as an inconvenience. A company's going to perceive that as do your job, or we'll hire somebody that will do your job. So,
and if the job description says 9 to 5 or 8 to 6,
doesn't matter. I mean, these are the things that we say that are nice, but, but at the end of the day, you've had corporate jobs. I've had corporate jobs. You're going to either do the work or they're going to replace you with somebody that will do the work. That's it. You know, because they're in the business of making money. If you don't like that, well, join a nonprofit.
So we're still not doing the 40 work week?
No, you can do 3 hours a week for 7 days, and it'll work like that. But no, it's really, this is a lot of, you know, Gen Z and millennials.
It's a lot of, I think it's a lot of showmanship.
We want to do the right thing. And at the end of the day, CEO emails you at 12:30 and I'm like, you know what? He or she is going to expect a response. And if you don't like that, don't play the game. Take your marbles and go home. Microsoft launches the world's first AI PC. AI powered PC built for the new era of work. So this is on, actually it's on blogs.windows.com. So you can go look at the Surface Pro 10 and kind of see what it's about, but it's all AI. And what it reminded me when I was reading about it, it reminded me of the chip war, of what chips were in certain computers years ago, like what Intel chip.
I had the Core i7.
Yeah, what Intel chip did you have? So it got me to think about that, like, well, what AI do you have? What AI is going to be built into your computer? You know, and built, I mean, we've done this with smartphones in terms of, you know, speech to text and stuff like that. But now we're going to be buying PCs that are AIs included, AIs in. Now,
based on your AI platform.
Right. Now, initially I look at that and I'm like, don't bet against Microsoft and don't bet against Microsoft and AI. So, but it will be interesting to see, okay, Macintosh and AI and Microsoft are, these are two different PC manufacturers, right? They're not going to have the same AI. I just can't see a world where they're going to both say, yeah, let's use that one. They're going to use different ones. So does that create a different work experience based on what AI you have? Question.
Possibly.
I got a hard maybe out of that. Okay. Question. All right. I see where you're at.
I don't know. You know, I can just remember going to Best Buy and the guy's like, well, you can have the Intel iCore 7. You can have this. Dude, what's the difference? It's $600
more. Now they're going to be selling the AI. So now at Best Buy, they're going to be saying, hey, this has got, boom.
Yeah, this has got the Tinkup LLM.
Which would be a fail. But yeah, they are. I mean, that is going to happen. You're right.
Would be a fail. All right, I got a compliance story because you know I love some compliance legislation and all that crap. Utah stepping up to the plate here. Utah law makes NDAs. I'm not laughing at the matter. I'm laughing that we actually have to talk about this. Utah law makes NDAs regarding sexual misconduct unenforceable.
Oh, I like that.
I like it a lot.
Confidentiality. Absolutely. Around me. This way you can't bury it, which has been the modus operandi for 100 years, right? So we're going to settle out of court. You're going to sign a confidentiality agreement, non-disclosure, etc.
And that's never happened.
Yes, right. It never happened.
Never happened. Now,
that's going to be really interesting.
So here's the kicker. So confidentiality clauses pertaining to sexual misconduct that were signed from January 1st, 2023 are now void and unenforceable. workers who have previously filed a claim or previously signed an NDA, I should say, have 3 days to come forward from the date of this.
Oh, interesting.
So probably could very well be expired. 3 days, I think, is a joke. I mean, come on. Like, either do it or don't, right? Like, one or the other. So my first question is, why just 3 days, right? Just come forward. Don't put a time limit on it.
Because lawyers created it. And it.
Because lawyers created it.
And they don't want it to drag on forever. So that's just.
Yeah.
They're giving people an opportunity, so they can say that they gave people an opportunity. But to your point, it's 72 hours.
It's
so.
Yeah. I mean, you haven't even heard the news story.
Right.
Before the time limit expired. Anyhow, I like the fact that NDAs are gone.
Well, no, NDAs as it relates to sexual harassment.
Sexual harassment.
Right. You shouldn't have sexual harassment in the dark. That's where we need to shine lights on those particular things, so that, you know, those things don't happen as much. So I love that.
No.
Now, what will be interesting for me in Utah is when this happens with the Church of Latter-day Saints. So when this happens with the Mormon Church, because, I mean, the church is just like every other church. It's no different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's relatively a cult, but, you know, that putting that aside, my bias aside, the idea that, okay, once it hits Mormons, will they retract it? But I think it's a great idea.
Right.
I think sexual harassment, any of that, any transparency you get around, I'd love to have a tracker on who's done it, where and how, and what they got away with, so that we can.
I have the app that tells me, which I really don't recommend.
Is that like
recommend.
Your Grindr app?
Because, no. It's, you know, puts their little red flag and tells you where the and I'm looking, I'm like,
this guy's quite horrible.
You're no longer allowed to walk on the trails to the kids, you know? I mean, look, moral story is stop harassing, stop touching
nice
people,
to people,
stop getting pervy. Just
Did you say stop getting
any
pervies?
No, stop getting pervy.
My bad. Wow, that escalated quickly.
I mean.
So here's a story I want to pitch you. Does pay transparency contribute to turnover?
Yes.
Okay. So you would be right. Payscale.com, Research and Insights, CBPR. I don't know what that sounds for. Oh, Compensation Best Practices Report. It's 15th annual. Anyhow, they actually agree with you that it does contribute to turnover.
Of course.
But as I was reading it, I'm thinking that, well, is that just because it's new and people are, you know, maybe shocked to understand, or maybe shocked to understand that they're mispaid or underpaid or whatever, and that'll settle. Like, pay transparency, I don't think you'd find a good counter argument against transparency, pay transparency, right? Like, it turns out it's a good thing. But is this just kind of the first wave of pay transparency kind of having some unintended consequences? And will that kind of normalize over time?
I think so. So yes and yes. I think it will normalize. I do think it's going to cause a wave of issues to come for employers.
Right.
Not for the employees. The employees are finally going to get their fair share.
As
they should. Now, is it easy for the employer, and this is for people way smarter than me, but is it easy for the employer to say, well, Brian, you're making X, William, you're making Y. Let's bring William up. There could be a significant gap there that can't be made up immediately. It's got to be done over time. By the time you even get to that point, you're gone.
Right.
Like, you're far gone. You're like, you know what? I'm out of here. And that's going to happen in droves. And that's okay. I think that's okay. I think that's going to cause a correction in the marketplace for employees and especially employers.
So the longer tail of it.
But I think that
is good.
Yeah. The longer tail is good. And I think that's where, I mean, we've been having plenty of conversations with marketplaces and gig marketplaces. And I think that's going to help 100%. These types of
ratings.
Solutions where, yeah, look, I'm not getting as much as William. We've got each got 10 years of experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm out of here. I'm going to go do 4 gigs and make just as much money on
my
own time. I'm taking my talents to Miami. It's just, way it goes.
What do you got?
All right. I got some Oracle news. Oracle Fusion. I feel like I'm yelling today. No. Am I yelling?
No.
Oh, I feel like I'm yelling. So Oracle Fusion, which kind of reminds me of Fusion the Blades, which they need to lower their pricing. Number one, let's just start there. Oracle, who are we talking to? Yes, James Mace. Shame. Like, I had to stop using razors because it's too expensive. I had to go buy a razor. Just deal with it. You'll never know those problems. So stop.
I don't own a razor. So I haven't owned a razor in 15 years. Seriously, I don't own a razor. When I go get my haircut, which is rare, when I get my haircut, I have them do my beard. I don't own.
Yeah, let's talk about
I don't haircuts. Own a razor.
I haven't gone to get a haircut in 20 years.
I got great clips.
My brother-in-law goes, he's like, a lot of my friends go, oh, I've had, and they make appointments. They got appointments. I'm like, the fuck you got an appointment for?
I just show up.
Get a haircut and a shave.
I tip really well, though. I am actually, because I have them wash my hair, which is, I know it's electric.
You should.
But I have them wash my hair. You should. And trim my beard and all that type of stuff. And so, I tip. That's they fancy. Love me. When they see me park, there's an excitement that runs through the Great Clips.
I think that's everywhere. That is not just Great Clips. All right, let me get back to Oracle Fusion. Here. Oracle deserves 100%. Some airtime. So Oracle Fusion, right? They added some Gen AI into Fusion. Not groundbreaking, not earth shattering, but it brings their account to more than 50 Gen AI tools and use cases within Fusion, which that I think is significant. Now, it's nothing that I've seen so far that is like where we haven't seen this before.
Right.
But Oracle has a massive client base.
Which means they're already sitting on a lot of data, which is good.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're going to be doing a whole ton of stuff. But where their clients are using it now, all the fancy things, like job categories, landing pages, job matching, candidate assistance, right? We keep talking about that. I think they're getting close now in their ecosystem to actually giving a recruiter, and this is where it gets interesting for me, they're actually giving the recruiter an assistant to do their job, right? And so we've talked about this over the last couple of months or so, where I really believe in the next couple of years as a recruiter, everyone. HR professional, everyone, you're going to have an assistant. That's not just your phone in your pocket. It's actually going to be, we always joke, it's a computer in your pocket. Like, you're actually going to have an assistant now. You need dry cleaning. Good. You need to go to the, you go into a restaurant. You don't have to go to OpenTable. Right, you're going to be able to do this stuff, and in recruiting, obviously, no different. But I think this gets the Oracle client base, which is massive, very close.
I like it. First of all, I like it on every level, but just to start, throw it against the let it fail. Let's see where it succeeds. Yeah. Let's recalibrate, and good for Oracle. Good for their clients.
It's a good thing that it's a good point that you bring up. We're used to seeing fast moving innovation from startups. Right. That have five people, throw it against the wall, see what sticks. I think what we're starting to see now is some of these larger companies like Oracle and so forth, they're not afraid to fail anymore. They're actually doing this stuff, and it's interleading the pack here for the most part and failing a lot.
I think that's great. I think it's going to help everybody. Okay, so this story I want to pitch you is, why is AI so bad at spelling? Because image generators aren't actually reading text. AI is seemingly unstoppable, but it can't spell burrito. And then this is at TechCrunch, so you can look up the article yourself. But I like skip the
I can't spell it either. I'm trying to spell it.
Is it one R, two T's? I do this so with tattoo. Is it two T's and two O's? Just could be a vowel. So, like, I skipped the week of school where they went through the there, and there. And for majority of my life, I couldn't get the theirs correct. Like, I just...
Don't skip school, kids.
So I'm a poker... I'm a poster child for that. But
the question I have for you is, do you feel smarter when you use the right tense or the right word, and you're like, nobody had to help me. And you're like,
no,
I got
no,
that.
No, I have Grammarly professional because I just want it to just tell me what to do because I just don't want to use my brain to think of that. Yeah.
Well, there's your answer on your question. Your AI doesn't have Grammarly.
No, it does not.
Next
question,
please.
That is. It's nice to see AI struggle. So I actually, on some level, emotional or intellectual or otherwise, it's nice to see that there's a struggle with AI, that it struggles. it's kind of human in that way. Like we call it artificial intelligence. Well, I don't think it's all that intelligent. So it is artificial, but it's not that smart yet. I mean, we're all talking about what the future looks like and flying cars and shit. But like the fact that it can't spell burrito, I kind of like that. I'm good with that.
I can write you a research paper in 33 seconds.
Yeah, can't spell burrito. All right.
Spell check it. Can't spell burrito.
All right.
Oh, my God. All right. Last week, I swear I'm not going and looking at the stories that interested me last week and looking for sequels.
However,
Subway is back in the news again. So last week they were stealing tips from their employees.
If you want to, this is a Subway tracker. So we've got a we're tracking all the things that Subway does wrong. Okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah. This week they face a $50 million suit for sexual abuse at the franchisee level. So again, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Right. So last week they're stealing. They're on the
hook. That was a mixture of franchise and corporate, right? The last week. Or was that just franchise?
No. It was franchisees. That was 10 franchisees stealing.
And so
tips,
this
right?
is still franchisees.
This week, this is still franchisees. Now here's
not good.
Here's where it gets interesting, right? So my initial thought in my mind's like, all right, look. AI's new, I get it. Newer, I get it. Background checking is not newer, right? We literally just had a conversation about this, right? It's not new. There are so many solutions out there to figure this out. It's not even worth discussing. Now, however, here's the deal, and I probably should go back and quote it so I don't get it wrong. However, Subway hired this person with a past sexual harassment background, brought him in as a manager in the store. And what do you think?
Shocking, not shocking. Subway corporate has to do a better job of vetting franchisees and laying down ground rules. Because again, both cases, these are franchisees doing the Wild West. And that impacts all franchises, but it also impacts the corporate brand. You know, they just need to do a better job. In my opinion, you just do a better job of laying down ground rules and not just selling your franchises to anybody. So,
yeah, well, it's probably most people's opinions. Now, well, here's the thing. It's the lawsuit is both to the franchisee and the
brand
that's
just
itself.
A lawyer. They're
Here's why. No, they're a joint employer. They've applied through and were background checked. Someone's got to fact check me on this, but from what I've seen, they go through the Subway corporate hiring process as they go through the franchise.
I'd be shocked. I know that some franchises help, but I, from a legal perspective, I just can't imagine that they'd open themselves up to that exposure.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's a lawyer and doing a land grab.
Potentially. Yeah. Yeah. Either way, it's not right.
And don't hire.
What are they going to be in for next week?
Stealing tips.
Let me just figure.
Yeah. This is good. Hiring criminals. All right. Let me pitch this one to you. Stress affects Gen Z employees the most, according to a survey by Calm.com. So you can find this on Calm.com, the business part of it. It's the voice of the workplace report. And it got me thinking as I was looking at it, it got me thinking, what's the definition of stress? Like I've had this ongoing inner dialogue about when we were cave people, stress was not being eaten by a dinosaur. Right? So there was stress. It's not like you can go back into a point in time, any point in time in history of humanity and go, yeah, there's no stress there. It's just a different type of stress. And so I don't think there's a human experience where you have no stress. You're just stress is different. It's, you could be a billionaire. Do you think for a moment that billionaires don't have any stress? No, of course they have stress.
Yeah, well,
it's
I'm
just
sure
different.
Enough. I mean, I would.
Yeah, no, I'll never know. But however, it's their stress is different. So it got me thinking, it's like, okay, so Gen Z employees, stress affects them the most. What's the definition of stress? And how are we applying that? It isn't universal, that I know. Because your definition of stress and my definition of stress are going to be completely different, right?
Yeah.
So, but I found it interesting. It's like, okay, what are they stressed about? Like, it got me. It's a great report, and it's a lot of people. Again, it's put out by Calm.com, so of course they would care about stress because they're trying to de-stress people, which is a great thing, not a bad thing.
It sounds like you're saying calm.com.
Calm.com. Calm.com?
Calm.
C-A-L-M. The app. You don't have calm.app? You don't have that app on your phone? Anyhow. No.
I probably should.
I'll drive you to it. You're good. So stress. Subjectivity of stress. So that's the bit. Go there, take a look at the report, and then, come to your own conclusions. I mean.
All right. Succession planning. Ooh. Yeah, this is big news. This is succession planning at its finest. I was excited when I found this article because I once went on a roller coaster and I was scared. I was really scared. It was a really big wooden roller coaster and I never wanted to go on a roller coaster again.
How old were you?
And it just happened. I was probably 10 or 12. Okay. Yeah, this is a long time. But it was
mid-30s? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. So anyhow, so Cedar Point settled an age discrimination suit paying a whopping $50,000. Yeah. Right, to lunch. I get it. So anyway, I'm reading through this and I'm digging through and I'm going through because it was really interesting to me on why. This is, and this wasn't an age discrimination case that says we're not going to hire old people. Probably quite the opposite. They hire a lot of old people to do that stuff. So anyhow, I started reading through and going through all this stuff. Then I thought to myself, the way that they're defining ageism and all this stuff, how would ChatGPT define succession planning with ageism? So I asked it. This is the definition from ChatGPT with ageism. Implementing succession plans demonstrates to younger employees
a route
that there are Implementing succession plans demonstrates to younger employees that there are opportunities for career advancement within the organization, getting better. As the older workers at the company start to age
define
out.
Define older. Interesting.
Yeah, define older. So here's the deal. So they provide housing at below market rates for some of their employees because they need people from all over to staff the parks, right? Unless you're old.
You're... You have your own mobile home. You're good. 30. Just plug in.
Anybody who's over 30 years old was not offered below market housing. You had to pay full price because you were older. Right. So I thought that was interesting. So what do? I keep digging deeper because I thought, there's got to be more of this stuff. So I'm going to start off with Texas.
Yes, you
because
should.
It's actually the first one that came up. Texas-based car dealership has to pay, this is all recent, $145,000 to settle claims it fired a longtime employee after They had heart surgery.
Well, that's an insurance thing too. The age, so that's
The age and the surgery and all that stuff. Louisiana manufacturing plant must pay $105,000 to settle allegations that it fired a worker who wouldn't retire. A Georgia-based senior living facility for allegedly firing a 78-year-old receptionist due to her age and her disability. She wanted to work until
whenever
she
you
died.
See an "and," you always have to question, was it one or the other or a combination of both? So the "and" in that is her age and her disability. So those are kind of multivariable. So we don't know. Is it age? Check. Is it disability? Check. Or is it age and disability? And even something else that wasn't disclosed.
I'm kind of thinking age and disability.
It could have been just straight up disability. I mean, it could have been.
Doesn't matter which.
No, but again, if I like the clear cases of ageism, they fired somebody because they're over the age of whatever it is.
Yeah,
and that's,
or they didn't give you housing because you were over 30.
Which again, if that's couched in terms of, hey, we're helping people under the age, you know, right outside of college because they don't have credit, they don't have all these things, so we're trying to help early stage workers. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, you know, but it's gotta be couched in different ways. An arbitrary 30 number is like, you know, first of all, you should have your shit together by 30. I mean, you know, most men's brains don't evolve until 30, but yeah, you should have some of your shit together. All right, I got three acquisitions to talk about. So Cornerstone acquires Tailspin. And Tailspin is immersive learning. So if you learning by doing. And so basically what Tailspin is an expert at is VR, AR, metaverse simulations, etc. So you add that to what Cornerstone already has and all the stuff that they can do in learning. It's pretty good. It's a great acquisition. And I love seeing acquisitions like this because it's just smart. They could have built it. No need. Go buy Tailspin, integrate it into things, and then give your clients the ability to do immersive learning. So, love that. Y'all go through all three.
Go through your funding. Let's talk money.
Well, these are all acquisitions, but yes. So, Culture
Amp. Acquisitions.
There's money was exchanged.
Same shit.
Culture Amp is acquiring people analytics platform OrgNostic. You can find this on cultureamp.com, go into their news section. So think of OrgNostic as a newer multi-source source analysis platform. And so what the combination of these things does is it makes CultureAmp a one-stop shop for engagement analytics. And CultureAmp is really good at engagement. That's how they started, etc. Now they're adding a multi-source analytics. And so, again, this is kind of just great examples of corporate development, kind of filling in the holes. Like you can see kind of like, it's okay, we could go build that. No, let's go buy OrgNostic. And I'll do ServiceNow. So let's
do it.
ServiceNow announces two acquisitions for industry and Smart Daily Management application. So they bought two companies to drive innovation for smart industrial environments and connected workers. So I dug into it. It's on servicenow.com. So you can go into their media, their press releases, and read a little bit about it. But 4Industry is a mobile enabled application to make the shop floor more intuitive, efficient, enjoyable. So that's that one. And so it kind of makes sense why ServiceNow would buy that just alone. Smart Daily Management, that's for BOI, creates a more efficiency around time-consuming tasks in their industrial consumers to drive kind of operational efficiency and excellence and all that stuff. So I think all of these, so 4 acquisitions in total by 3 companies, I think it's just great examples of kind of exceptional corporate development where people are looking at things and saying, you know what, that this helps a specific part of ServiceNow's customer base, the folks that have shop floors. So the industrial folks. So they went out and got two pieces to then integrate into what they're doing to help that whole vertical of their clients. So good for them. Good for their customers. That's all I got on acquisitions.
That's all you got on acquisitions?
We do have a funding, but I got some research as well. So where do you want to go?
Gotcha. All right. Let's go to Walgreens. I'll go to Walgreens. So I've got a couple of pregnant stories this week. I swear, this is like continuation from week to week. We had the pregnant workers, Fair Act at PWFA last week. Walgreens has been smacked with a $205,000 fine.
They don't have a place.
A pregnant worker.
They don't have a place for...
No. The worker miscarried after being denied an emergency leave.
Yes. I don't like any of that.
Yeah. So now, obviously, we don't know the inner workings here. However, what the article is about, and this leads into another story too, was the woman started the spot while on shift and asked to leave. She was told that but they have to find someone to cover her shift. Time went by. They didn't find anybody. She asked. They still couldn't find anybody. Ultimately, she worked her entire shift. And then...
This is just bad all around. There's nothing... It's just talent.
Bad all around.
Your customers can suffer for whatever, the inconveniences. So what? It's inconvenient, but if someone's spotting, they gotta go. That's tough.
Health is health, right? And I mean, you can use your judgment. If a headache, okay, maybe. Okay, look, go lay down in the back. Pregnant, that's something.
When I worked for Walmart 100 years ago, I ran the front end, all the registers and cashiers and people that got carts and stuff. And I had, they do the little blinking light. So I'd have to go over and kind of void checks or whatever. And I go over to a gal. She's about my age. Like, I was 18. I'd have been 17. So I go over and I'm like, hey, what's going on? What do you need me to do? And she turns to me and whispers in her ear. She's like, my period started. I'm like, okay. She goes, yeah, but I don't have. I said, you know what? I'll take over here. And why don't you just go get the things you need and come back when you
have aisles?
Come back when you come back. I got this. Don't worry about it. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't grow up with girls or sisters or any of that type of stuff. So, like, first of all, I just didn't know. But once I did it, it's like you have that moment as a manager to then react in a way that basically says, I get it. I don't get it, but I get it.
I'm human.
You go. Like, I just told her to go pull shit off the shelf. I'm like, I'll expense it. Just go get whatever you need. you want to go get a Bartles and James while you're at it? Cool. Go get what you need. I'll be here. I can shut down the register. It's not a big deal. All right, let me give you a couple. Go ahead.
Yep. No, guys, that's fine. We'll switch.
Neurodiversity in the workplace. Are organizations overlooking their highly capable neurodivergent employees when creating conditions for success? You and I had a wonderful podcast with Crystal Lay about neurodivergent talent. And this is put out by EagleHillConsulting.com. They have a report about neurodivergent talent, etc. And one of the things that stuck out to me when I read was unemployment runs as high as 80% for this group when they are working. Highly capable, neurodiverse people are often unemployed. And I thought to them, like, this is just a talent pool. So you have to shift some things around. You might have to do some different things in the workplace, maybe in recruiting. But there's a whole huge talent pool. Like what we talked to Crystal about, there's a talent pool we're just skipping. And so if you want to read that report, EagleHillConsulting.com, and you'll be able to find it.
All right. Ted Cruz is back in the news.
Did he ever leave?
No, I don't know if this is actually Ted Cruz. I'm just kidding with Ted Cruz. However, what did we say last week? So Ted Cruz came up. I forget what. But this does have to do with Texas again. This is like a theme. My PWFA, pregnant women, the pregnancy issues at work in Texas. So Texas sues the Fed to challenge the PWFA.
That's not shocking.
The Protection for Workers, yeah. So what they're saying, they're not saying that it's not a good idea. What
technically
they're saying
they are, but yes, go ahead.
Technically, yeah, it's not valid legislation because the House did not have quorum. When they voted, because they did some virtual versus in person. Yeah. So this was an attachment to the previous story.
Right.
Because I just thought to myself, like, why? Like, what are you doing that we have to do stupid shit like this? So, you know, with a PWFA, just so people understand, there are a couple of things listed in there, especially, and this is kind of where Walgreens kind of was like, you know, and some other employers, which, you know, it's really fascinating. Not just that they don't have feeding rooms or pumping rooms or any of that. They actually, employers are preventing women who are pregnant or postpartum from doing certain things like carrying water bottles. And having drinks with them as needed on the work
That's
floor,
dumb.
Right? Things like that. Having different, having multiple or additional prolonged restroom breaks. So these are things that are outlined in this, in this Protection Act. But I thought it was fitting.
Well, and again,
that Texas was the one to say
it. Well, it could be Florida. It could be a lot of these states with just crazy state legislatures. You know, you got several states that are kind of in the same boat.
Yeah.
And so, I think it's just dumb because you're not doing the right thing for your employee. Like when you get right down to it, if that person needs extra water breaks or extra bathroom breaks, do you either care or you don't care about your employees? Like it can be black and white. And this is just a simple accommodation. And I think we need to think about accommodations. If we want to retain great talent. You think of like, what do you need to be successful? I used to tell employees this all the time, like, tools and resources you need to be successful. You need to tell me. I can't guess. I don't know what's going on in your mind, but you need to tell me. If you tell me, you have half a chance of me actually providing those things. But if you don't tell me, you have 100% chance. All right, let me tell you two things.
Oh, no, there's more. There's more.
Oh, wait.
There's more. There's a second. Another thing, this is in the same breath. Texas blocked they moved to block a second ruling for the NLRB.
Not shocking. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So this is around, oddly enough, connecting with the subway story. Different altogether, but it connects because we talked about joint employers. So what they're saying is that the ruling in the case was issued. Well, so what they're saying is that the definition of joint employer isn't what
interesting. It is. That actually could affect the PEO business.
Who owns the employee? Right. And so under the new rule, employers could be deemed as joint employers if they had an employment relationship with the employees under common law agency principles, which you have to go and find that. And they share or co-determine matters governing essential terms and conditions of employment. It's a Texas thing, man.
I'm going to have to dig into that one myself because I think that franchises are pretty well set up that when they sell the franchise – the person takes on all that responsibility, but I'm going to check into that. All right, let me give you two pay related stories because we got about 5 minutes left. So first one is from WTW, which is Willis Towers Watson. So for people that have been in the game for a long time, that's basically who it is. Here's a quote. 2024 employee patrons expect higher pay increases to continue, according to a new report that's at their website, WTWCO.com. So when you work on the report, it's a lot about market data and quality market data. Remember, when you pay someone, there's really only three ways, classifications that you pay. It's either above market rate, at market rate, or below market rate. And so having an idea of what market rate is, where you are or where they are, whatever, or what the position is, being able to have quality data so your comp team can at least get you to market rate. I think a strategy of below market rate is not sustainable. Sometimes you just need to pay above market rate, like a house, and sometimes you pay at market rate. So that is tied to Gartner CFO survey shows employee compensation to grow faster than inflation in 2024. So that's at Gartner.com. You can go into,
Well, I believe Gartner, so I mean, hell.
so they surveyed a bunch of CFOs and they're basically saying, yeah, comp is, yeah, it's not going to grow faster than inflation. I don't think that that's going to end well. Newsflash. I think they could have summed that up in,
Terrible.
hey, Titanic, nice to see you.
Yeah,
So those are the
no
two kind of
bueno.
comp stories. Again, Willis Towers Watson and Gardner, respectively. I got
All right.
two last stories, but what do you got?
All right. So I'm not going to go through the whole story here, but I do want to get your take on this because you do have a take on this and you're pretty
Sure.
avid on this. So I believe that there is a misunderstanding in the workplace and in the headlines when we read DEI is being cut. Like it's being cut out. So I was watching a panel news discussion, sorry, with I forget the guy's name, the CEO of HP. And so what he was saying is very similar to our conversations that it's not about DE and I, right? It's evolving. It's under the umbrella of inclusivity. And that's how they approach it at HP. And so I thought this would be a good opportunity to get kind of your 30-second take on this because you do actually have some good thoughts
Yeah,
here.
the D, you throw out the big D. The D is under attack from right-wing Republicans because they see it as a racist, reverse racism. Which is, stupid on so many levels, but that's kind of the bit. That's how they're selling it to the people that follow them, and so it's under attack. And so you saw this play out in the Supreme Court, where they took away kind of on the admissions. You can't make college admissions based solely on race. That's coming to work. So it's they're gonna take away affirmative action. They're attacking at the state level and at the federal level diversity initiatives because they've lumped diversity initiatives into quotas, into not meritocracy or merit-based. And so that's racist. Or at the very least, it doesn't set up white males for success that they've had for, 2,000 years. So the thing is you're looking for what is a winnable argument. And you can continue to make a winnable argument around diversity because I think everyone that's rational understands the importance of diversity. But if you want to just skip to the place where you can create a defensible argument, you just talk about inclusion. We're just going to include everyone, which could get you to some of the outcomes of equity and equality and belonging and diversity. But, just expect them to change that language around exclusivity or inclusivity is inclusivity with the exception of white males. So it's
Got
unfortunate that that's even being it's un even under attack. All right,
it.
two things real quick. White House report, which why was I reading a White House report? Let's just start with that. White House report suggests that 10% of U.S. workers are in jobs highly susceptible to disruption from AI, performing tasks most likely due to AI implementation. However, this doesn't imply job loss and taking over some task, leaving others for humans. So 10% seems really low. Like this is a 2024 report. So you can go to whitehouse.gov and go look at the economic report from the president. And it just, when I saw 10%, I'm like, that's, first of all, that just seems like a low number, which made me think, does our government have any idea what's going on with AI? Like, is this one of these deals that government, all government, not just our federal government, all government just lags? They're 10 years behind. And so they're throwing out numbers like 10%. I was like, pretty sure that's good. That the number is more like at least 60%. So go take a look at it. It's actually a fun read. I had not read an economic report by the president before. So it was a good bit. Now, this is a backstory that we should have covered a couple weeks ago. And we missed it, Ryan.
Well, so you
Workday commits an additional $250 million investment capital to Workday Ventures to power innovation. Now, they put some money into Paradox.ai. So this was before the investment the acquisition of HireScore. This actually happened before that. So they're bolstering with this, with Paradox, Hired, and Beamery. They're bolstering what they're doing in recruiting and hot Workday recruiting. So we just wanted to make sure to go back and say, you know what? Workday commits a bunch of money to them. And this was right around the change of the CEO from Aaron to Adam.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that, causation or correlation, but it was right around the same timing. So that's all I have.
So that's all I got. This is it. This is the bar for the week. Thank you all for listening so much. 100%. If you're still listening, subscribe and like us everywhere. We will be out at shows coming up to you soon. So if you see us out there, please, please, please say hello. And I should start saying this in the beginning 100%. Of every episode, but if you have t-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, you don't need them. Send them over. I love free things.